Former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has been one of the loudest critics of Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war in Gaza. But he also has tough words for the Albanese government. In this one-on-one episode, he's been speaking to SBS Chief International Correspondent Ben Lewis.
Do you think there will be a phase two of the ceasefire, or do you think fighting is going to resume in Gaza in a few weeks' time?
I must say it's a very difficult question. I think that we all want phase two to take place. I mean, we, the Israelis, the general public opinion in Israel. But I think that it is almost obvious that the second phase will require a clear-cut declaration of ending the war, which is what we want, but which I'm not certain that the Israeli government wants. And in the meantime, the movement of the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from the south part of Gaza into the north part will make it extremely difficult to resume fighting. So the political attitude of the Israeli government is that We can't conclude the war. We have to continue to eradicate completely to the total victory the Hamas. The circumstances on ground make it extremely difficult. And therefore, in the bottom line, it all depends on the meeting that will take place coming Tuesday between President Trump and Netanyahu. Trump talks about discussing the way to bring peace. I hope that he knows what is the right way to do it. And we'll see.
Do Donald Trump's remarks about sending Palestinians to Egypt and Jordan and redeveloping Gaza, talking about its beachfront location and sort of real estate potential, do they concern you?
Makes me laugh. I must say I'm absolutely overwhelmed and impressed by the rich variety of original ideas that President Trump has about almost everything under the sun: the climate, the immigration, the possession of new territories for America, Changing border in Mexico, taking over Canada, and so on. I don't know what can be achieved. If Trump is capable of moving 1.5 million Palestinians to Jordan and Egypt and Indonesia and Albania, then he is indeed a miracle maker. But I'm not certain that it will take place. I think that this is wishful thinking, but not a reality that can be actually implemented.
We know that some of Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition partners on the hard right want the war to resume. They've been very vocal about that. What do you think Benjamin Netanyahu himself actually wants? Does he want this war to resume, or does he want it to come to a close?
I have to say, I'm not the best commentators for what Netanyahu wants. I'm known, and I think you should know as well, that I'm one of his staunchest critics. And I don't trust him, and I don't think that he's the right person to lead the state of Israel. So when you ask me, what does he want more? He wants more to make sure that no one jeopardizes his position. If ending the war is losing his political partners and losing majority in parliament and going into early elections, then I'm not certain that he wants it. So maybe he may try to reach an understanding with President Trump that will clarify it. But as of his performance over the last few months, I think Netanyahu doesn't seem to want to end the war.
If the war has ended now, if the fighting does not resume, can Israel, can the IDF say that its operation in Gaza has been a success?
It has been a success. It has been a success long ago. We didn't have to wait to the end until February 25. We should have ended it, in my mind, in May of, and even earlier, in 2024. The idea that you can wipe from under the sun every person that may, particularly in a place like Gaza, particularly after the, such a destruction and situation, the humanitarian situation, to believe that there will be no one that holds a gun, and if you have not eliminated all of them, then you have to carry on the fighting, then you can carry on the fighting forever. But in from any practical point of view, I think that the Israeli army did very well in destroying the major military capacity of Hamas, in killing all of its leaders, in destroying the tunnels, most of the tunnels, most of the command positions, most of the launchers, most of the rockets. What else could we do? We didn't kill all of the Palestinians, thank God. There are still 2.5 million Palestinians there, and no military operation can get rid of them, and no sane, reasonable country and leaders should want to get rid of them. So we have reached a point where we have achieved most of what can be achieved by military operation. Now we have to try and think in a more creative manner how we can establish the necessary infrastructure for peace negotiations.
Could the same objective have been achieved with fewer civilian casualties?
I don't know how to say. If you ask me, were there so many civilian casualties that maybe did not deserve to die? There is no question about it. Could it be avoided when you fight a terrorist organization which is embedded in the most densely populated area, on ground, underground, inside hospitals, inside mosques, inside schools, inside public facilities? I don't know. I remember that when the war started on the after the 7th of October, all of the world leaders, President Biden, Prime Minister Sunak of Great Britain, President Macron of France, Chancellor Scholz from Germany, and many others said Israel has a right to respond. Did they not know that if we are to respond, that we'll have to reach out to the Hamas that is part of the civil society and that there will be many civilian casualties? They should have been aware of it, and they still approved of what was at that time inevitable. Could we kill less? Could we be more careful on occasions? Maybe. I don't know. One of the reasons that I suggested, and I spelled it out publicly in almost every possible channel and media in Israel and overseas, that we should have stopped the war almost a year ago, is because I felt that the balance between the cost of this war to us and to the innocent Palestinians and to the hostages goes beyond any possible achievement that is worth it for the state of Israel.
Benjamin Netanyahu has been very critical of the Australian government for its stance on the conflict, perceiving them to be in some ways anti-Israeli. What are your views on that? Is that a fair criticism, do you think?
I must say that the one point about which I can't say that I disagree with Netanyahu. Look, I've known Australia. I've been there many years. I've worked and I became friends with many of you former prime ministers going back maybe 30, 40 years. I expected Australia to have somewhat more balanced attitude. I don't want to argue with the criticism coming from Australia, as it comes from other places in the world, about certain aspects in the Israeli policy, in the makeup of the Israeli government, in the attitude towards Palestinians in the West Bank, in the extent of destruction which was caused in Gaza. But it appears to me that there was no balance, no attempt to understand the sensitivities, the suffering, the cost, that the pain that we have gone through. I would expect more from Australia, which is very dear to my heart.
You've written that the Israeli government needs to do something about settlers who have been, in your words, terrorising Palestinian communities within the West Bank. Why is that so important?
And number one, I really genuinely think that this is the greatest danger that Israel faces on these days. It's not Iran, it's not Hezbollah, it's not Hamas, it's not the Houthis, it's not the Iranian militias in Iraq or in Syria. The greatest danger for the state of Israel, for the values of Israel, for the balance and stability within the state of Israel, for the unity of the Israeli people, the greatest danger are the messianic groups that are trying to force the Palestinians out of where they are in an attempt to create the necessary circumstances that may justify at some time in the future the complete annexation of the territories of the West Bank to the State of Israel and the expulsion of their citizens. This is totally intolerable, unacceptable. They are committing crimes which are not dealt with effectively by the Israeli law-abiding agencies, by the Israeli police, the border police, the regular police. And this is inspired by a government which just recently cancelled all the administrative detentions which were issued against settlers that are perpetrating atrocities. And so they, in a way, gave them a signal that they can carry on and that they will not be punished. I think that this is terrible. This is something that most of the Israelis can't live with, can't tolerate, and will not tolerate.
In that interview, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was talking to SBS Chief International Correspondent Ben Lewis.